Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Seek Christian Internet Radio Outreach, WSCIRO, Boston, Massachusetts, USA.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
I hear the voice of one cry, I hear the voice of one cry, prepare the voice. Let your rain fall. Let your rain fall in this desert. I hear the voice of one cry. I hear the voice.
Somewhere between the heavens and the earth, deep is calling out to the deep things of God that is embedded within the deep recesses of your heart. Somewhere between the heavens and the earth, faith speaks and echoes from a distance. Somewhere between the heavens and the earth, a voice is crying out within the wilderness of your soul. This is the way, walk in it. Somewhere between the heavens and the earth, a voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Somewhere between the heavens and the earth, the one who really loves you is calling out your name in the night season. Can you hear him saying, I love you. You are mine and I am yours. I have been waiting for you. Well, we are here on Memorial Day, May 27th, 2013. And I'm Dr. Shirley Caniff here with my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff. We did a series of pre-broadcast excerpts of our show over the last month. We are, you know, have been caught up in many things that the Lord has called us to, and so we have not been consistent, and we apologize for that. Before we go into the pre-broadcast show regarding the prophetic overview and reflection for 2013 thus far, for this version of Faith Talks Live Prayer, we want to offer up communion in a very special way, because some of the things that we spoke about were very deep, very profound, and so it seems fitting here that instead of reserving communion for the end of the show, we thought that, you know, it would be more effective to offer up communion not only for this show, but for the intentions of the victims of natural disasters, especially this most recent one happened in Oklahoma, where that E5 twister just toppled the school, the elementary school, and the death toll was something like, you know, somewhere between 20, 24, and they thought it was 51. And there's been a lot of loss of life, a lot of heroic deeds. And so we want to offer up this Eucharist for that, the intentions of of those who are grieving, and for the whole region, and how, you know, and how they need to build back up and encourage one another and refocus their thinking and their hearts and their priorities on kingdom thinking instead of worldly thinking. And as we spoke about in the previous broadcast, we also want to lift up families and victims of those who participated in the Boston Marathon, for especially the survivors and their healing, both inner healing and physical healing, and that the Lord would just put a new spark within their spirit of what, you know, the top priority is, which is his agenda on many things and many issues. We also want to lift up in a very special way those who fought for this country, not just in the recent wars, but in all the previous wars, starting from the Revolutionary War that established this country all the way up to now, and the blood that still cries out from the soil of America and beyond, that there would be peace and justice, and that as time goes on, there'd be less shedding of blood. As we embrace what it truly means to be unified with a common purpose in Yeshua, And we also pray that for the churches, that God will restore a sense of unity among all of the different Christian denominations and non-denominational denominations, because of the shed blood of Jesus on Calvary and what He did for us, and that John 14, that we may all be one in the Father, would become a reality in this day and age, especially as we wait for His return. We also want to continually pray and offer up this Eucharist for the peace of Jerusalem, and that many, as we as believers, will step aside and let the Lord be the Lord in establishing this peace. As we pray, as we endeavor to be obedient in prayer, and really pray from the heart regarding this, seeking God's heart regarding, praying for the peace of Jerusalem based on Psalm 122, and just based on, the scriptural way, the biblical way of praying, and understanding what our position is in this as believers, as a spiritual Israel. Not that God did anything, He doesn't believe in replacement theology, but that the Romans 11 principle would come into full fruition regarding Israel, the Jewish people, and Israel, and their role in the end time harvest as the day of Jesus Christ draws near. Okay, and also for all our loved ones, our grandchildren, our family, our families that are waiting in the balance, as far as especially the ones that are teeter-tottering. Should I receive Jesus or should I not? We want to pray for those, especially those in our family that we've been crying out in the night season for. So all these wonderful things and any offenses that, we unknowingly have, through maybe statements that we weren't aware that we made on the radio station. Dr. Jeffrey and myself, Dr. Shirley Caniff, we would just like to, ask for forgiveness. And ask the Lord to continually mold our hearts into His image and likeness, and sincerely apologize for any harshness that you may have felt because of these words that we spoke that maybe needed more time of reflection and prayer. And so, in the love of Jesus Christ, we say, forgive us. And Lord, give us the strength to move forward into the things that You called us to, and to continually be a source of encouragement for those who are discouraged because of situations and circumstances in their lives beyond control that cause them to lose focus and cause them to be distracted. Amen. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. So, like fine wine, our shows have aged and they have taken another form as events begin to unfold. So we want to list up all of this, for the furtherment and advancement of the kingdom. Okay, so before we go into communion, my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff, is going to read an excerpt from John 14, and then the unity prayer from John 17. Okay, Jeff.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work."
Amen. So, well, let's read John 17.
After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, and that he might give eternal life to all those you have given to him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and the glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave to me, so that they may be one, as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I have sanctified myself, and that they too may be truly sanctified."
Amen. So we just offer up this communion, Lord, for all that we lifted up to you. Lord, as you are one with us and we are one with you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. At the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take this and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be broken for you for the sins of many. When you do this in my memory. For those who eat of my bread and drink of my cup, you have life within you." Jeff, receive the body of Jesus. Amen. Receive the body of Christ. Amen. Likewise, Jesus took the wine and lifted it up to the Father. He says, take this and drink of it, for this is my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant, which will be shed for you. When you drink, eat my bread, and when you eat my body and drink my blood, you will claim my death until I come again in glory. For as often as you eat of my body and you drink of my blood, you will have life within you, and I will raise you up to the last day. Jeff, receive the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. For it is through him, within, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory, now and forever. Amen. Okay, folks, enjoy the rest of the show. God bless you. We love you. Bye-bye. Well, good day, everyone. Welcome to Faith Talks Live Prayer. I'm Dr. Shirley Canniff, your co-host here, and I am here with my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Canniff, the other co-host. And we are, this is our second show into 2013. And, you know, we miss you all because we've just been doing so many things. God has been doing some tremendous work in our lives regarding redirection and refocusing and staying, you know, hopefully staying under his mantle as he, you know, covers us, and we're doing the next thing that he wants in a new season. And I hope he's doing that for all y'all, and y'all listening to his voice. We're going to, you know, delve more into the prophetic word that began to unfold at the beginning of 2013. Since then, several things have happened. Let's see.
we've been praying for Benny Hinn and Suzanne to get back together for like a couple of years. And they not only got back together, but they remarried on March 19, 2013. And I remember using one of the shows to talk about that when everybody, you know, when it was, you know, fresh news in Christendom through the social media. And then also, surprisingly enough, in February, during the season of Lent, Pope Benedict the 16th retires, and now he's Pope Benedict Emeritus, and we have a new pope, Pope Francis, and there are many people, oh my gosh, saying that he's the last pope, and some people think he's the evil pope, but you know what? Look at the fruit of this man's life, all right? And he speaks from the heart that the Lord has given him, and to me, that does not sound like the enemy, all right? You know, we have to understand the perspective. You know, how we look at people is what's really in our own heart. And so many of you might need to recheck your heart. And, you know, and also, you know, not every book that is written about situations is factual or based on the truth. So we're going to look at that later on. It's some documents, some books that these two Protestant witnesses had written. Tom Horn was one of them, and his sidekick, I don't know what the other person is, but the gist of the matter is they were on Sid Roth, and they were speaking really against a lot of the church teaching. They said a church teaching is called, and they created a book or published a book called Exo Vaticana, and some of the stuff that they talked about that the church is involved in is a lie.
Utterly deceptive.
Utterly deceptive. And it's geared towards getting people sidetracked and back into a judgment mode, and it's used as a tool of division, because the church is going in, the true Catholic Church is going in one direction, and it's the direction of that the Lord wants to take them, because here it is. When there's major repentance, okay, especially when it comes to priest abuse, what happens is that there's going to be a massive revival, and the enemy does not want that to happen. Jeff?
When we open ourselves to God, God wants to change us.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be careful of what you place your trust in, because
mm-hmm.
it all depends on foundation.
Yes.
In sociology, they call it prejudices, biases, and a whole bunch of other terms, but my
mm-hmm.
two terms is prejudice and bias.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of anti-Catholic bias
yeah.
in certain elements. We have the Catholic section of the church, we have the Eastern Orthodox section of the church, then we have the Protestant
section of the Body of Christ. And also
now,
the non-denominational
section. If you're building on a foundation of fear
mm-hmm.
and manipulation, then your word is not trustworthy.
Right.
No matter how you try to certify it,
mm-hmm.
if you're building on fear and you promulgate it from a position of fear,
mm-hmm.
then it's wrong.
Yes.
I do take objection to such a good person as Sid Roth
mm-hmm.
not really weighing the total consequences of what he's doing on the people of God.
And that doesn't say he's a bad person.
No, it's just I'm questioning.
And he also hesitated to even have these people
yeah,
on
well,
there.
That's a good sign.
Yeah,
to me, since I'm...
And he's not against Catholics, he says. Yeah.
But it's not the people who can get to that point that I worry about. It's the people who are in the fear-based point who will continually extrapolate that against believing Catholics.
Exactly.
I mean, secular Catholics, Catholics who are just cultural,
mm-hmm.
they need to be re-evangelized,
mm-hmm.
and our church already recognizes it, and they
mm-hmm.
even slandered that.
Right, right.
In the context of their
expose. In this pope, you know, they ushered in the reign of Francis. And one of the things that I need to correct people on is that we look at the reign of a pope like the seasons in the spirit. And so, you know, you don't judge a particular office or ministry based on whether it's a personal relationship with Jesus or, you know, or something regarding particular ministry venture, you don't base it on Chronos time. You base it on Kairos time. And so the period of time that we are entering into is the time of Francis. And Pope Innocent did bless the Franciscans, St. Francis himself, with a blessing that their order would persist until the return of Jesus. And so even though Pope Francis was Jesuit, he also was, Dominican. He wore a Dominican garb under his Jesuit
habit,
and he took on the name of Francis because he himself recognized that we are entering into the reign of Saint Francis. So
he must have also lived that spirituality back in Venezuela.
And he did.
The days of his life, 72-something years.
Yeah, I think it was Venezuela? It was Argentina.
Argentina.
Yeah, yeah. And so what happened was, what we're seeing before our eyes is actually that particular prophetic word that was given. It was a blessing that was spoken over the Franciscan order in the 1100s when St. Francis visited the Pope. He was
plus the prophetic word that the Lord gave directly to Francis about rebuilding his church.
Rebuilding
what better
his
time
church.
To have a Pope who's basing their personal devotional life on the example of St. Francis of Assisi, because the church the prophetic word to Francis was, rebuild my church, it has fallen into ruins. And his first interpretation, this shows the
he thought there was a building.
No, yeah. But this is the complexity of prophecy. He thought he took it literal.
Like it was a physical
thing. But he was
thing.
Asking the Lord. So he responded to the physical part, which was buildings falling apart. Yeah. But then later, when he did go to present his order to the Pope, he got clarification through the Pope from God.
Okay.
So,
amen.
It was the interior life of the people that needed to be built up again.
Right.
And so even in this generation, having a Pope, before he even had the opportunity to change his name, we said, what if he names himself Francis?
Yeah, we said that. Remember that about 2 days.
Like
2 days.
Before.
Yeah, as we were praying, as we were called to pray.
And it was like.
Yeah, during the conclave. Yes. Before.
So, And then.
We both said it together. We're like, what if he takes the name of Pope Francis? So we were thinking that it was going to be Cardinal Sean O'Malley, because we got that check in our spirit. And he was very close to becoming our next Pope, because he's Franciscan. He is a Capuchin Franciscan. But it was the Lord's will for someone who had the same humility that St. Francis, a similar humility that St. Francis was walking
that
in.
That Francis developed too.
That Pope Francis developed too. So it was just amazing to see the prophetic word come into fruition. Now, I must say, there's been a lot of tabloid responses to what's going on with the Vatican, and we're going to visit this topic in other shows, but because I'm introducing a show, it was like the Lord put his finger on this part. And what I'm saying is that you can know that that information is out there, but know this, folks. The Vatican... In Vatican City itself is a, I don't know if many people know this, is not just a place. It's a country, and it's a state. And so you have many people from various people groups and cultural groups and religious backgrounds that are not necessarily Catholic occupying different parts of the Vatican. All right? So you have... What was there before Christians came to Rome, all right, when they were ousted out of Israel in 70 AD, they went to Rome and they evangelized the pagan culture. So what you see here is a lot of the pagan influences are trying to thwart the regular plan and reinsert themselves, and try to thwart the call of God to evangelize people in the four corners of the earth.
Okay, since you brought it up, what Catholics know it as is the new evangelization.
Yeah.
And these Protestant brothers,
yeah,
in my opinion, desecrated the evangelization of Christ
mm-hmm.
in the Catholic Church
through
the Catholic people.
Mm-hmm.
And that bothered me more than anything else that they had said,
so,
because it creates the risk of the sin of disunity.
I mean, they were saying things like the church is saying that when the extraterrestrials come, the UFOs, and that the church is behind this, that, you know, they have plans to baptize aliens from another planet, and that is just not so. And they do have a conservatory to watch the activity of what's happening in the heavens, but they don't, it's not called the Lucifer Telescope. I was just talking to my mother-in-law, who knows a lot about this, and she, you know, so whatever that telescope is, let's just say we have a contingent called the Clerical Masons or the Masons that have always hated the church, and they always want to mold the church into their image instead of conforming to the image
of Christ,
As taught by the church, the Catholic Church. So you have that spiritual warfare going on.
And what about the,
over the seat of Peter? It's always over power.
And what about the symbolism of the previous popes? Benedict.
Yeah.
Benedict the 16th.
Right.
Now, who did Benedict represent?
Jeff, can you tell me about, before that question is answered, do you know anything about the Malachi prophecies? I just wanted to,
like the way you
explain it.
Like all prophetic things.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Mayan calendar thing, which was falsely interpreted.
By the same people.
By some of the same people.
Mm-hmm.
And I always understood it to mean
A change in time.
A change in the in the world culture. Not a, like, destructive change, but some age is coming to an end.
Yeah.
And a new one is beginning, and I really think we are.
And people are trying to define that.
But the real test of the question is not if we can tell what it's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because my faith isn't in tomorrow's events. My faith isn't in past events. My faith isn't in today's events.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the Lord of all those events.
Mm-hmm.
Because time and space belong to God. God is present in everything that has happened in the past. It's happening now and will happen tomorrow. So I'd rather put my faith in someone who will tell me exactly what I need to know, when I need to know it, how to move, and how to move in dangerous situations, no matter what happens, how they happen. My trust is in God, because I gave my life to Him at 7 years old.
Yeah.
I knew God as a 7-year-old Catholic person.
Mm-hmm.
I came to the tabernacle getting ready, being trained to participate in Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard in my heart and my spirit the voice of Jesus talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
And many times after that, when I felt privileged to kneel at the altar and pray after Mass as an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, go to Mass, serve Mass, and then stay an extra amount of time afterwards. I mean, I was converted. And there's other issues, but those are later things we'll talk about.
Exactly. So, of course, it says that reminds me of a scripture that I got. I got from the internet. The Bible through the internet. John 10:27. My sheep, so you can see yourself sheep, right? My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me, you know? And we will go more into hearing the voice of God and what and what it sounds like and what it sounds like when you listen to the voice of the enemy. Well, let me go to that right now. For those who are, you really want to know, well, how do I discern, you know, when I hear this kind of news, or even if people write books about it that sound like a tabloid material, all I know is that it doesn't dignify the people of God, or if it's not integrous, that means that it's definitely not the voice of the Lord. You know, they're not hearing, they're not reflecting
critical,
the heart of God.
Critical
in
spirit
matter.
Is never godly, because the enemy's voice can disguise itself as many things, and that's why, as a Catholic, our leaders are very slow to trust prophecy, and they already have what we call the depositive faith, which gives us the rudimentary outline on many things about how to live in a godly life, how to form that life, and how, you know, and just how to develop in a Christian spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, process of conversion all the days of our life. Because
we'll
never stop needing to be converted. We will never stop needing grace and mercy. We will never stop needing the cross. Because where the cross happened in Jesus and space and time, he put a permanent mark in history that we can always return to when sins need to be crucified in order to get over them.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what the obstruction, which can be considered like a wall that gets around people, preventing them from reaching into the river,
mm-hmm.
whether they be baptized, non-baptized, whether they were ever evangelized, or they just fell away, became secular in their religious mindset,
mm-hmm.
whatever, God wants to reach out to everyone. And I view things that happen to all the people of God as
mm-hmm.
the scripture talks about tears
mm-hmm.
and weeps. Two distinct things. One that was food, one that looked like food but was false. And
mm-hmm.
only if you were like a garden specialist could you tell them apart.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you were a lifetime farmer, you would have learned how to tell the false wheat from the real wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord speaks in a parable and he says, let them grow together.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, the harvesters will come and separate the wheat and the tares,
mm-hmm.
which is what's happening in the church. The wheat and the tares have grown up for the last two millennia
mm-hmm.
in the church. A hidden background of anti-church.
And
as
the
well
occult,
as
too.
The church.
Yeah, and the
everything
church.
That's the opposite of Jesus Christ is trying to rebirth itself using the forms of religion.
But denying the power thereof.
That the church has glorified God with in history.
Mm-hmm.
But and now they're getting more comfortable with the fact that maybe now is the season for usurpation.
Because there's a lot of change going on in the world. And there's natural disasters and everybody's focus is off of off of them for a while. So they think. So they think if they come and say that they're the new church, this is what the church teaches. And it was so contrary to, it was so heretical, and contrary. We could go on and on about this, but my husband's got to go to work in a couple of minutes, so we decided this is actually a pre-broadcasted show, but we wanted to really cut into the meat of what particular show is going to be about, because so many things have happened since the last time that we did this show. We're still introducing the topic that he we'll visit this topic, but let's just say we believe with all of our heart that this Pope Francis is not the last Pope, and he's not the Antichrist either. He's talking about the poor and how priests should avoid careerism and really look into being like, becoming like Jesus for the sake of, the people.
More
that
like
are,
Jesus than businessmen.
Exactly. And he's calling every believer to, embrace a true, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't think that Catholics have a personal relationship with the Lord, we do through the Eucharist, and we also do personally through prayer and dialogue.
I think the only failure,
mm-hmm.
which is now turning around, is that
mm-hmm.
The Catholics are being taught to talk about it more.
Exactly.
I think there was a season
yeah.
in our history where the leadership was afraid that the people would fall into all these kinds of things, which was true, even
mm-hmm.
in those days when they...
But
overly,
that's why they have confession.
they overly emphasized that the unlearned shouldn't read the scriptures alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I comprehended that, but in part in this generation, you can't compare a previous generation to the current one.
Right. It's
even,
totally different.
Even during the Reformation,
apples and oranges.
It's different from the earlier days
yeah.
prior to the Reformation,
yeah.
where education wasn't a standard around the world. It was an exception.
Right.
So
now everybody has
to be
educated.
Able to get the education, and
mm-hmm.
even Francis kind of hesitated about letting books come into his order because
mm-hmm.
of the same
mm-hmm.
risk of missing the point.
Mm. Okay. So what we want to do is put a cap on this introduction because we wanted to really, I wanted my husband to share his heart about what he heard because we were both ruminating on this for a while and it just let the Lord just minister to us about how to present what we've heard in love. Again, we always have to be about, showing, Aaron, our opinions and also marrying it to truth, the truth of the
gospel.
Of the gospel.
Jesus just explained part of that to me.
Okay, what was that?
For the dream.
For the dream. Awesome.
And it comes to giving the complete clump.
Yeah. And so, you know, for those who want to understand discernment on these issues, there's five. I went to under the green tree. Well, Jeff and I we went, and that was a yearly. That's always a yearly come together gathering at the Bridge Metro West. They always have various prophetic ministers, and coming together to challenge us to grow deeper in the things of the Holy Spirit, and also to sharpen our discernment and open up our spiritual eyes and ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying
to the church.
So we have to discern the our heart, where is it? And the Lord was showing me through one of the leader's books, The Emerging Daniel Generation, written by Aaron Evans. Is it Aaron? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Evans. And primarily, when I got to the part where he says that, you know, there's several levels of discernment that we have to understand, that we have to, you know, we have to have as part of our, refining of our spirit, the growing of our human spirit, which all comes from the the Holy Spirit, which influences our human spirit, so we can, our spirit can rule over our soul. When you look at anything, we were looking more with not just our natural eyes, but with the spiritual eyes, and we're discerning from the standpoint of our own humanity, whether it be broken humanity or humanity that's in a constant transformation process, as the Holy Spirit wills. So we look at, especially when we're discerning what we just spoke about the ex-bad encounter and what these people wrote as opposed to what's really happening in the church and what the Holy Spirit's really doing. You know, you have to have ears to hear. You have to have eyes to see what the Holy Spirit's saying. Read Psalm 29. We'll read that later on, but that was one of the scriptures that the Lord was showing me would be appropriate for this broadcast. But you were going to discern spiritual things based on the human realm, the human spirit, the angelic spirit realm, and then the holy angels, and there was also another one. I think that there was the demonic too. Did I say all that? You know, the human, and the demonic. All right. Also the physical. You know what your physical relationship is, and psychological. I'm going to throw in psychological and emotional, because we're a tripartite, and that's all part of the human spirit. So the Holy Spirit, and what's coming from the Holy Spirit. So you have these different levels of discernment, and where the spiritual activity is, and the nature of the spiritual activity. That's all part of discernment. It's just not discerning singular level. It's more on a multitudinous level. Yeah.
And you have to be careful, because discernment is not consensus or agreement.
Right.
It is knowing the root of more than what you can see, more than what you can feel, more than what you can know.
And then the ultimate, especially when you have a relationship with the Lord, and there's that dialogue between heaven and earth through the Holy Spirit, you ask, Lord, what is your will? Always praying, the Lord's Prayer, to know what the will of the Lord is in any given moment, is very beneficial, and is also wisdom, which is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and a gift of the Holy Spirit. I should say the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the rest of, this is a long introduction, but the rest of the show, we're going to be dealing with a previous prophetic word, where we just talked about that, but we're going to get into greater detail. And I just want to say, since January, when we gave that prophetic word for 2013, we've had, over 12,681 hits on that show, and I wasn't even advertising it. So people were very hungry, they were very thirsty, and especially as the events began to unfold, you know, since then, we just had the Boston Marathon bombing and the capturing of the second brother. You know, we just come through a season of Lent, like I said, mentioned earlier about the Pope retiring, the new Pope coming about. These are all world changers, you know, now. And also there was what's that shooting? There was a shooting, Sandy Hook Elementary shooting.
That was late February. That was like January, early February, and then the Pope's resignation was in the middle of February.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it was just one thing after another, okay? But, you know, the Lord is still on the throne.
Well, this is what I think about in one sentence line. I think God knows he needed two top-handed intercessors.
Mm-hmm.
And you have an active Pope and a retired Pope, so the retired Pope's responsible for praying for the active Pope.
So we're going to go talk about some visitations. Dr. Shirley had a couple of visitations. One, the Lord is putting shoes on my feet, but what came out of that, and the whole experience that happened, you know, during the Triduum, which is the Catholic's way of celebrating Passover, Good Friday, and Resurrection Day on Easter. I had several powerful visitations during that whole period, which actually radically changed the way that I intercede for people. I know. I just couldn't believe it. But, you know, I'm going to talk about that later on in the show, and we're going to explore very shortly a dream that my husband and I had regarding, we ended up in the same dream. It was like a week after, you know, I had those very powerful experiences. It was like, it was Sunday morning, I think it was the week after Easter, and I had a dream, I was somewhere, and he was in the same dream, but on the other side of the dream, the topic. And it was amazing what God was sharing with us. Momentarily, we are going to talk about that. That's going to be the first dream because it's very significant prophetically. Then the Lord gave me several articles that I want to read. Mole-like behavior, the mole behavior, and what to watch out for and enjoy God's creation.
I finished the understanding.
Okay. But before we go further into the rest of the show, I want you to get your Bibles and jot this in your notes that we will be exploring Psalm 29, hearing the voice of God, Ezekiel 37, talking about the river of God, and where the church, where even the Catholic Church is standing right now in this. We're going to talk about communion from John 6, Acts 5, and Joel 2, and Isaiah 41:10. And we're going to look at Steve Hill's avalanche dream. Sid Roth had him on another show where Steve Hill actually died and came back, but the Lord had given him a prophetic word for this generation regarding spiritual avalanche. And we actually spoke about a spiritual avalanche based on, you know, an exaggerated word that if people believed it and believed all the junk and the lies that were told, you know, that would really shipwreck a lot of people's faith because they put their faith in third party knowledge, you know, that, you know, comes from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil instead of from the tree of life, which is Jesus. All right, so a lot to chomp on. But we'll try to get through this as quickly as we can. And just know that, you know, God, he really loves everyone, and he's really into letting us know about that, you know, and but we don't need to be afraid of him. We don't need to be afraid of what's happening in the world. There are many, many things happening, and you know, we just have to continually trust God. And a word about hackers. I went to my email, and I have several emails, and I noticed that my account was hacked. And I think this is a general consensus that this has happened to other people too. And the warning is, you know, when if you notice that you're getting something sent to you from you, that's not you, okay? That is a hacker, all right? They got into your account, so you'll have to change your password. And I think I might have hit something that was questionable, something that did not have a subject line with my name on it, and that was a no-no. And so what it did, it was it sent out emails to a lot of people, and emails that I didn't even send out, in a, you know, including myself. So, you know, just know that if you got any emails from me and you're on my list, and it was random, no subject line, and maybe a link to, you know, to go to another website to put, you know, to sell things, that was not me. We don't operate like that. We will always tell you what we're going to do on the show, whether it be the video, Faith Talks Light Prayer, or or Faith Talks Light Prayer here on WSEIRO, Blog Talk Radio. Okay, well, we also did a video. We celebrated our 10th anniversary, and we had our video, our wedding video, upgraded digitally through HD to a movie format status, and so we were able to, really reenact the whole wedding. I mean, that's a real wedding you're seeing, but the whole grade of, you know, the quality of video actually was something that was improved because of the upgrade. And so the name of the video is on YouTube. You can also access it through Vimeo. It's called, what is it called? It's based on your poem, Jeff? What was it called? The Unseen Beauty of My Heart?
Yes.
In Awakening Love. And we're thinking that because of the degree of testimony that the Lord had given us and continues to give us as a husband and wife regarding His love, that we're going to have an ongoing series called Awakening Love. And hopefully it's going to awaken our testimonies and whatever the Lord gives us in whatever capacity is going to awaken, you know, the love that God has for you in your life and in your heart. Okay.
To know the passion.
And Blog Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Shirley Caniff, your co-host, along with my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff. And WSEIRO stands for Seek Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston. And glad you are here. Okay? I want to start off with a formal prayer of the church, a prayer of St. Augustine of Hippo. He's a saint that lived in a church father that lived in 354 to 430 A.D. And my husband and I had the luxury of being invited by the fathers of La Salette Shrine to a movie showing called Restless Heart. For those of you who are my Facebook friends, have been praying with me on from time to time on Faith Talks Live Prayer Missionary Prayer Group and Faith Talks Live and the new Faith Talks Live Prayer Missionary Prayer Group, as well as the Joshua Connection. There are various prayer groups for different purposes. You have probably seen the trailer because I posted it because I thought I posted it in those particular groups because I really got a sense just by looking at the trailer and that it would be really good for people who are former Catholic, non-Catholic Christian, who just want to understand the history of the church and what the early church fathers went through and what they contributed to our faith and to your faith, whether you're Catholic, whether you're Protestant, whether you're non-denominational denomination, whether you're from the Orthodox Church, we all came from the same source, and that's Jesus Christ, right? Anyways, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Lord, late have I loved you, O beauty so ancient and so new. Late have I loved you, for behold, you were within me, and I outside, and I sought you outside, and in my ugliness fell upon those lovely things that you have made. You were with me, and I was not with you. You called and cried to me and broke upon my deafness. And you sent forth your light and shone upon me and chased away my blindness. You breathed fragrance upon me, and I drew in my breath and do now pant for you. I taste you, and I know, and I now hunger and thirst for you. You touch me, and I have burned for your peace. Amen. And, that's a place of intimate fellowship that we all began in, at different points and in different parts of our life. And then, so the Lord, he's constantly drawing us nearer and close to him in the different paths and journeys that we take. Even if we diverted, because of distraction, because of illusion, because of delusion, or just because of the attack of the enemy, God always has a plan to capture us and to bring us close to him and to love tenderly on us. And the question is, are we willing to do that? So, Father, we offer up all that we are and all that we have in you and all that we are destined to become. We bring to you, before you, before your throne of grace, our families, our friends, and even, we don't want to admit this, even our enemies. Okay, we don't know why they're enemies. We don't always want to have enemies, but for some odd reason, when people, don't like us for whatever reason it is, we also bring those who need to know you more in a greater way and to understand who they are in you. We need to offer them up first and foremost. We thank you, Lord. And any unforgiveness, Lord, that is in our heart right now, Lord, that it can be a block, a hindrance to you coming to us and us coming to you freely, more like us coming to you freely, Lord, we ask that you would just show us, uproot and take up those fiery darts, those thorns in our soul, in our flesh, that stand against the knowledge of God and stand against the love that you want to pour into us. We thank you, Jesus, and the peace and the joy. And Lord, Father of Light, we love you. We just want to know you more. We want to grow in you more. We want to be like you more. And that's all we need to desire. And Lord, we leave the rest up to you, for you to give glory to your name through your work in our lives so that we can communicate that properly to others. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Holy Spirit, and we shall be recreated, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of thy faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the gift of the same Spirit we may be truly wise and forever rejoice in your consolation. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And Lord, we just want to lift up in a very special way the medical profession is going through a lot of changes. Old and the new are coming together. East and Western traditions are coming together to improve the quality of healthcare for us to understand the natural healing process of the human being. We ask that you would bless the new healthcare and the specialties and the subspecialties that are coming forth from that, and Lord, that you would pour your wisdom, just like the wisdom of St. Luke, the physician, and also the great physician, Jesus Christ himself. And we thank you, Lord, that we would never lose sight of who the healer, real healer of our soul is. We thank you, Lord. Raise up the incredible prayer warriors who have been called to the health profession and who would be able to embrace the East and the West, the new and the old, to solve the issues that are facing us, especially related to autism and chronic conditions in a new way. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, okay, I have my husband here, Jeffrey, and we're going to talk more. We're going to talk about a dream that we had had. We were both in the dream together. Jeff was in my dream, and I was in. We were in the same dream. We dreamt on the same night, and different aspects of the dream, and it has a lot to do with Jesus and what he did. But we're going to talk about scripture concerning this, because what good is a dream if we don't have scripture to back it up? You know, if we can't prove the efficacy of a spiritual dynamic in a dream. Okay, so hold on to your hats and sit tight. You know, fasten those seatbelts, and we're going for a ride. And I'm telling you, the last since January, since the new year 2013, the Lord has been doing some really, really strange, funny things in my dreams just to get my attention and also to teach me wonderful, valuable spiritual lessons that seem to hit home and leave an impression in my dream. He's taken me to the zoo. I've had different animal dreams, and it's amazing. I'm only going to go into a few of them, but you know, there's eels in this dream, and it's just really funny what the Lord's doing. But I'm telling you, whenever he gives us the interpretation, it's very powerful, it's very profound, and that's what he's been doing. We're so sorry that we haven't been on for the last 5 months, but the Lord's been ministering to us and putting the show together as he sees it, and just when we think we have what we have, he allows us to get busy again in our lives with some of the tasks that he calls us to, and then he'll give us another dream, another vision, and it just keeps building and building and building. That's what he does, and then he'll release a birth in our spirits that says, now is the time to go forward. Now is the time. So now is the time. Okay, so honey, anything that you wanted to say about the life of St. Augustine and before we go into this dream, because it was something about the mother. You wanted to share with the listening audience when we saw this movie that you wanted to, you had a, you know, what tell us a little bit about St. Augustine and his contribution to the church and the struggle that his mother had. Because we just pray for families and...
Well, yeah. If the historical rendering is accurate, mm-hmm. there was
in our terms today, an alcoholic problem in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And so Augustine kind of had some he loved his father, but at the same time had some disdain for him.
And it also
and
was
disdain for his mother's Christian beliefs.
Because he was highly intellectual. He's a very smart young man, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Monica was the faithful Catholic woman who just persisted in her prayers for her son. She suffered alongside of him when her husband would beat him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think he suffered all the issues of today back in the 360s or whatever.
And St. Augustine, you know, witnessed his father being unfaithful to his mother in the middle of his drunkenness. So that left a bad impression on how he viewed relationships, correct?
Yes.
Okay. But sort of like today, right?
Yeah. And I think he makes a good intercessor from heaven because he experienced the negative side of family life in his generation.
Mm-hmm.
But all that came together when he experienced the Lord and came deeply into being a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And then he changed his studying and I think studied more under Jerome during his beginning walk.
And before we go further, what was his stance in life? What were some of the heresies that actually shaped him, and how did God, you know, use him and use all those to get him back on track? Because he was going to oracles. He was a lawyer. Wasn't he a lawyer?
He was a lawyer.
Yeah.
And he got the guilty off.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knew the person he got off was guilty of a crime.
Because he was an orator, and he used his words to...
He was persuasive.
Persuasive, yeah.
And, you know, and...
Even in Little Lion,
Our term would be lawyer.
Yeah, yeah.
In this generation, but you know what? If you think about it, the word orator describes lawyers because they do talk a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When they present the cases and stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he just lived that life. He enjoyed it. He did have a mistress. He did have a child. Mm-hmm. And
he really loved the mistress, but he just didn't have faith in the relationship.
Well, he had a poor example of a very ill style of relationship.
But what happened to his father on his deathbed?
He became a Christian.
And
that really gratefully influenced him, even though it took a little while longer after his death to get there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we just, you know, and he, because of where he came from and how he grew up and what he learned even in his before Christ days, it became, you know, he considered it all as a loss and started again. But once you're formed by things, you know how to use them. And when you come into Christ, Christ sheds different kinds of lights on those same things, that if it's negative stuff like moving away from moving away from being a lawyer because it's, you know, the lawyer of your day is too corrupt and not doing righteous, rendering righteous decisions.
Well, what happened was the person he defended, the wife beater, actually went back after, you know, when he was, proven in court as being innocent, which he was really guilty because he was really doing the deed of wife beating. The son comes to
the door
and tells him that his father
has killed his mother.
Has killed his
that
mother.
He's to blame.
Yeah.
And that kind of puts the wedge in his heart about being a lawyer. And
being a great orator, a great liar.
But that's part of the parcel of how he eventually turned away from all that. The other parcel was when he saw his father being converted, you know, in his last hours.
Mm-hmm.
He received forgiveness from God through the church.
Mm-hmm.
And that left that was a more positive example.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to go that way, but, you know.
He was upset because he was still in unforgiveness when he saw his father receive the mercy of God.
He even broke pagan law because he disrespected his mother.
Yeah.
And all the communities of religion in that day had a high esteem for your parents.
But he was really upset at his father coming to the Lord because he said he didn't think it was real, and he didn't think, you know, because you can't see God, that God even existed.
That was a response because he was his father's choice of being nasty almost all of his life and then having this great mercy bestowed on him right before his death.
Yeah, he didn't think he deserved it.
No.
Like many people don't think
especially
certain persons deserve mercy because of their simple life. Yeah.
Of the parent or person who is abusing them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know.
Right. Yeah. So that seems to
Let's talk about dreams.
Yeah. So you know, the reason why I wanted you to talk about that because I didn't switch the subject, honey. It's a segue. So you know, we got some scriptures that we're going to go into, but Jeff, out of this list. Right, I wanted everybody to write these things down. We're going to be talking as it pertains to these dreams and the prayers that we prayed. That's where it ties in, Jeff. So I want, before we go on, into this, I want everybody to get on your knees and start praying for your children and your loved ones, whether you're with them now or you know some way they're involved with you because you have a child by them, or if they went to be with the Lord. You still need to, you know, forgive in your heart and start praying mercy for your loved ones, for your friends, for your enemies. Because, you know why? Because your prayers are going to make a difference. You know, your prayers are not only going to be beneficial for them, they're going to be beneficial for you because you're going to come to that higher place in your relationship with Jesus where he can trust you with other things to pray about, with you know, secrets of the kingdom and things like that. So, you know, so now we come into this time where we're going to reveal to you what the Lord showed us and through dreams and everything because he's entrusted this to us because, he, you know, we can't tell you everything, but let's just say that, privately as individuals and as a husband and wife team, he's shown us many things and we've been faithful, you know, to just keep them between us and the Lord, and then we've been able to see his hand move in many things, and just because we know what he's revealed to us and how we prayed and things like that. So that was, you know, what we are offering to you, one of the greatest saints' mother had to go through, which made him a great saint of the church, especially for those who were wayward and for those who, for the ones that really got called into service. And he got duped into service in the church one time, protecting the pagan people and finding out that he was on the wrong side and the Lord just knocking him off his kista and finding him and sending him scriptures through an angel. And It just goes on and on and on. I want you to see that movie, Restless Heart. You'll get a gist of it. Some of you are already
once
read,
he became a Christian, he really used his skills as an orator to heal heresy.
Exactly. He understood heresy for what it was based on.
But he had St. Jerome, the Bible translator, as his bishop.
Exactly.
As
he
was training.
Yeah. And the bishop recognized that he was a writer.
He already been to the school,
the
higher learning of the day.
Yeah.
So now he needed the formation from the local bishop.
And, you know, the City of God is one of the best works. And there's also a song of City of God and things like that. So
So what about the dreams?
Yeah, okay. This is a unique phenomenon. My husband and I... My husband never dreams. But anyways, we went to sleep, and he had prayed that the Lord would begin to open his mind to hear his voice in dreams and visions, but specifically dreams, that he would remember his dreams, and the Lord moved heaven and earth to answer his prayer. And also that was my prayer for him as well. So we were in the... my husband and I had a dream... simultaneous dream. We were in each other's dreams on different parts, in different parts of the dream concerning a car and a lake, and the car actually driving into a lake.
We know it has a lot to do with Ezekiel 37, and when the time comes, we'll interpret that during the show. But this is particularly for content purposes only. So my husband will share first about history.
Well, when I first woke up, I knew I had a dream, and then I started focusing on it, and I saw that I was in a car being driven down a long road, and it came up a hill. It stopped at the hill as it turned facing a river, which had a wall alongside of it.
Was it a stone wall?
It was a stone wall, like a contemporary stone mason wall that... Hard to knock over, but not impossible.
Now, was it what kind? Was it overcast? Was it a glorious day? Was it sunny? Partly cloudy.
It was partly cloudy, and then all of a sudden, I heard a voice say to me, "Hold on!" Shouting, "Hold on!" Like all of a sudden, I heard the car gun and leached forward. It went down the hill and took out a segment of the wall as it went into the river.
Now, were you in the car at the time?
Yes, I was.
And what were you doing? Were you driving the car or the passenger?
I wasn't the driver. I was the passenger.
And where were you sitting?
I was sitting in the back seat.
Oh, you were in the back seat. Okay. And were you able to see the driver?
No, because it was kind of...
Like invisible?
The cloudiness.
Yeah. It appeared that the car was driving itself.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's significant. So do you think you were the observer or you were participating? You were the passenger, observer?
I was both.
Okay.
I felt like there was a duality with it, not just seeing this vision, but that this vision was speaking of something I was going to enter into.
Right. And so did you have anticipation or what was your emotional state in the dream?
I was just calm. I was a little shocked that the car gotten forward and the driver said, "Hold on," and gunned the car forward.
Yeah.
And then it eventually collided with the wall and took out a big segment of the wall.
Okay.
And as the car continued over as that wall fell, it continued into the river.
Wow. And so was the car fully immersed in the river? Was the river deep?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It was very deep, and the car just sank.
Were you afraid of drowning?
There was a bubble.
A bubble.
Inside the car was like a bubble of air, so nothing.
So you didn't drown?
No.
You were able to breathe under this water?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome. I love those water dreams where you can breathe underneath the water. That means it's a move of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. And we'll get back to that. Are you done?
With the description, yes.
Okay.
Interpretations next.
Okay.
After you state your part of your dream.
And so you all heard about Jeff's dream, Dr. Jeff's dream. Now my dream, and it was funny, the only way I was able to even hear what Jeff had dreamt about is because my dream triggered his dream. And my dream went like this, because I told Jeff I had a very strange dream. And this is, my dreams can get really, really, very strange. So here we go with the strange dream. Jeff's dream was strange, but it had typical elements in it that point towards a mighty move of God. So my dream went like this. I didn't know whether I was in Texas or Midwest, but it was something that took place in the Midwest, and that's very significant. West, the word west, not so much the place, but this, the word west. And it was a partly cloudy, glorious day. The sun was shining. And I thought I was also observing a cowboy movie, because there was this man that was like dressed up in western garb, looking for a car and then getting into the car, and I saw the car start up and come into the water. Now,
Somehow I got inside the car when it was under the water. And I knew in the dream, I knew that it was there was leeches in that water. You know those Western shows where you got the sagebrush and it's like cactus and, you know.
Totally clean.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody else knew that there was leeches in that water, but this man, you know, it's almost as if he didn't care about the leeches. And so, you know, and it was the other thing about this man was it was like part of him wanted the leeches to feed off of him. He had like a hidden desire to be for the leeches to feed off of him. And and in the dream, I one awareness that I had of the leeches was that, you know, in the early days of medicine, in the early days of phlebotomy, they would often use leeches for certain blood diseases to make people well. They were called medical leeches. So now needles take the place of that. And so that was, I kept going back to that. And I was thinking, wow, this man must have some kind of disease. Anyways, I was thinking too much in the dream, and it was moving pretty fast. And so the car and the man go under the water, and somehow I appeared on the inside. And then there was like millions of these leeches inside. There were different shapes and different forms. And the thing about these leeches is that the car... It became afloat again, and these leeches are leaving the car, and leaving the man, and leaving the car, and they turn into human beings. I only saw, you know, the backs of them, and they walked right out of the water. I'm like, how did the leeches do that? You know, and but one of the things that the leeches were doing is they were feeding off the blood, his blood, and they were getting life. They were getting nourished. And then they turned into human beings and walked right out of the river. And I was also able to breathe under this, you know, in the river, you know, in the car that was immersed. So in the stream, I was actually observing the whole event. And but at the time, I was so shocked. I'm like, why am I having this dream? This must not be from the Lord, just because. You know, if you just looked at the content void of interpretation, you would think something terrible is going to happen, but it was actually a good dream. So when I awoke, I told my husband this, and it triggered a dream that he had. He said that the same, he said a car, you know, he was in this car, like he mentioned before, and it was an unseen driver that was driving the car, knocked over the wall, went right into the river. And I'm thinking, at one point I thought they were two separate dreams, and then I'm thinking, oh, we must have been in the same dream. The only thing is I didn't see Jeff in the car because I was concerned with more like this man that was being eaten alive by the leeches and then coming up again with the car. So there was something going on regarding resurrection. But we are going to leave this.
You're listening to Seek Christian
we're get back
Internet
to this and
Radio
we're interpret
Outreach, WSCIRO, Boston, Massachusetts, USA.
What it was like I was in a car, somebody else was driving, and we were driving along a highway that eventually came along a river. And along this river, you could see into the river while you were on the highway. Then all of a sudden, these barriers came up and blocked the view of the river. And just keep on going and going along this wall. Then all of a sudden, the driver takes the car and takes a sharp right turn facing the wall and going through the wall and into the river.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to think on that for a few days to understand it. And I realized that I was the passenger, Jesus was the driver,
mm-hmm.
and the car represented ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing... You know, the river was symbolic of several things, grace and mercy of God that flows from under the throne and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the car itself was the ministry.
So what scripture kind of gave, you know, the, what scripture did the Lord give you in relation to that particular dream? Because I got to step in here and now tell them about my side of the dream. Because I remember when
The wall represents the spiritual, emotional, physical barriers mm-hmm. that primarily oppose the completion of the Father's will.
Mm-hmm.
The cow is the ministry. And in my own personal interpretation of this for me,
mm-hmm.
the elements of this ministry are healing, intercession, and prophetic.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. that has proof that, but that's not, that aspect of proof personal ministry.
What was the scripture?
The scriptures I came up with is the walls which represent those barriers.
Mm-hmm.
I came to Matthew 12:33, either declare the tree good and its fruit is good, or declare a tree to be rotten and its fruit will be rotten, for a tree is known by its fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And that says it all, because discerning between the invisible and the physical realm is rather difficult for us who are physical, because mm-hmm. it all depends on what we believe about the intersection and connection of the spiritual life with the human life in this physical world.
Mm-hmm.
And further on in Matthew 17, there's parts where talks about the darnels and the wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And the darnel is a weed that looks similar to wheat.
Mm-hmm.
So in the scriptural reference here, the farmer is sowing his seed in the field, which is good seed that's going to be food.
Mm-hmm.
And the darnels or tares, as in some said in some translations, are wheat that is a kind of plant that has no seed in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's lifeless, not good for food. And then the enemy of the farmer goes out in the evening after he's spent the whole day sowing his seed to mm-hmm. grow the crop and sows bad seed, the darnel,
mm-hmm.
among his wheat seeds. So, mm-hmm. but the farmer doesn't see it until it all starts growing.
Right.
And his hands want to pull it up right mm-hmm. away. So, but the farmer in his wisdom says, no, let them grow together, and at harvest
mm-hmm.
we'll separate them, so we don't destroy the wheat in the process of trying to pull the weeds out.
Mm-hmm.
And so each was allowed to become mature,
mm-hmm.
and then at the point of farming it,
mm-hmm.
they would be able to distinguish even better
mm-hmm.
where what was wheat, because usually wheat comes off the top of a grain because it's a seed pod.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's what happens. And another thing I realized, That was Matthew 13 from verses 4 to 9, Matthew 13, 4 to 9, 18 to 23, 24 to 30, 36 to 43. In my scripture, these were segmented.
Mm-hmm.
I segmented this. And we also need to understand the scripture from Galatians chapter 5, which is about the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit,
yeah.
or what darnel represents and what the wheat represents.
Mm-hmm.
And in Galatians 5:18-21, it's all the negatives.
Mm-hmm. So you want to read that?
I will.
Okay, good. Dun, dun. So, you know, as Jeff is looking for that, you know, I just want to let, I'm going to share with you.
I'm here.
Okay. After he reads that.
Let's see. Galatians 18:21.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me put it like this. If you are guided by the Spirit, you will be in no danger of yielding to self-indulgence. And self-indulgence is opposite of the Spirit. The Spirit is totally against such things, and it is precisely because the two are so opposed that you do not always carry out your good intentions. If you are led by the Spirit, no law can touch you. When self-indulgence is at work, the results are obvious. Fornication, gross indecency, sexual irresponsibility, idolatry, sorcery, feuds, wrangling, jealousy, bad temper, quarrels, disagreement, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and similar things. I warn you now, as I warned you before, those who behave like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then from 22 to 26, this is what the Spirit brings is very different. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, trustfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There can be no law against things like that. You cannot belong to Christ Jesus unless you crucify all self-indulgent passions and desires. Since the Spirit is our life, let us be directed by the Spirit. We must stop being conceited, provocative, and envious.
Like St. Augustine was.
Oh, yeah. He was very, this very much described him.
Yeah, yeah. So, prayer, I'm telling you, prayer through even the dark night is going to get you into that better place. You know, even if you witness somebody that you love so dearly.
And God tends to let our wheat and tears grow together, but He's the one who's going to help you work, pull the weeds out as you live a lifestyle of ongoing conversion.
It can't even be debated out. It just can't be debated out. I mean, people, you know, they think that if they can just, you know, debate certain faith issues, they're going to, you know, end up convincing people that they should follow the Lord. And it doesn't work that way most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything else?
Well, we have to learn how to recognize what exactly these barriers are, because this more, you know, you have the fruit of the Spirit, you have the fruit of the flesh, but then you have people who are deliberately living in wickedness by their own continuous stream of choices to turn against God or anything that even natural level of conscience would tell them about what is good and what is bad.
Right.
And but that level of conscience can't save you, because you have to, hopefully it will bring you to Christ, but all things work towards that end.
Yeah.
And just for dealing with barriers, I'm just going to mention one more thing. Galatians 24, which I did just read to you, is about crucifying the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And that means turning your will over to God and letting God enlighten you as to what else you have to turn over to Him. And you nail it on the cross with Jesus, as if Jesus is dying at this very moment in your personal history. You join, there's this transference of sin that always happens when you can make a confession to Jesus. It goes on to Him. And what He has done in history becomes real and effective and heals you.
Amen.
It doesn't wait.
So is there anything you want to say to the viewing audience? Do you have a word for them?
One simple thing.
Yeah.
Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest.
Amen. Amen. Okay. So I just want to take off from there and share with you my side of the dream, because we had it on the beautiful thing about this being one in the flesh, one in the spirit with your spouse, is that this doesn't normally happen to us, but the beautiful thing is that the same day, I actually woke up and I said to my husband, I really had a strange dream, because prior to that, for the last 2 weeks, and this is just coming out of the Holy Week and into the first week of Easter season, and what I had experienced prior to that was during the Triduum, which was Holy Thursday, which is the Passover Seder that the Church has commemorating the Last Supper before Jesus was whisked away by the Roman centurions to have a meeting with Pilate, and as he was betrayed by Judas. So at that point, after Holy Thursday, I had, this is the whole divine setup. I was so taken over by sleep, and afterwards, you know, real early, and I decided I'm just going to go to bed. You know, and my husband was in the other room, and I always like it when we go to bed together, but he was doing something, and I just couldn't stay up, couldn't keep my eyes open, and I felt like I might be going to a vision, but I'm not sure. Let me just see what happens. So I thought it was going to be sound asleep, and all of a sudden, I'm still awake, and I thought my husband came into the room and, you know, standing at the edge of my bed, he decided that he's going to, because we usually wash each other's feet on Holy Thursday, and we that's something that we haven't gotten to yet. So I'm thinking, oh, my husband's surprising me. He's going to wash my, he's washing my feet. I thought he had a white shirt, you know, because it was very bleached white. And then I think, you know, I'm looking up at the ceiling, and I see the head of Jesus, and I'm just getting this, you know, whole love and bliss thing going up. You know, it's happening to me at the same time. Like, oh, Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, for your love and all this other stuff. And then I'm like, thank you for being my husband. And I thank you, Lord, for that man that you put in my life. And just thank you for your love. And thank you for massaging my feet. And for washing our feet. And as I was thanking him, and this feeling of love just penetrated my entire being, I noticed that my husband said in the other room, so Shirley, is everything okay? I'm like, and then he comes in, I'm like, Jeff, I said, you just walked, I said, I thought you were here all along. And I said, you know what? I just had a visitation. I said, Jesus was, I thought it was you. Was massaging my feet. Jesus was, because I didn't see his head. You know, I was, you know, kind of in between, and I was going in and out, and I was in another altered state of consciousness and things like that. And I was like, wow, something's happening. God's doing something. And then I left it at that. And then the following night, the night afterwards, we would come back from Good Friday services. And at this point, my husband, he had worked, and I went to Good Friday. And I came home, and I was listening to the account of Good Friday services on the radio as well from Rome. And all of a sudden, they were talking about when Jesus was on the cross and when they laid him in the tomb. I think it was between Good Friday and Holy Saturday. Yeah. That period between Good Friday and Holy Saturday. And as they're talking, I'm going in the spirit without thinking I'm going in the spirit. I was just thinking, wow, I really see this. In my mind's eye, I see Jesus laying in the tomb. I see this. And, you know, I just see him laying like I was there with him, you know. But it just didn't go away after I shut the radio off. It was with me. I was entering into that time when he was in the tomb. And then I went to bed, you know, same thing with Jesus. I'm like, what is this, Jesus being in a tomb? And, you know, he's sleeping in the tomb, and I'm with him, and I'm just watching him and things like that. And that was it for that. And then on Easter Sunday, sunrise, my husband sleeps near the window, and we have a very big window, because at in the morning when the sun comes up, he looks right at it, especially when we open up the blinds. It's really like we don't need any lights first thing in the morning. But my side of the bed is like closer to the, you know, the away from the window, and I was covered up, you know, because I wasn't ready to wake up, but I knew it was about 6:15. Easter morning, and all of a sudden, under my covers, I'm feeling the sun rise in my heart, nice and warm, as if I'm outside in a 90-degree day, and I saw Jesus rise up from the tomb, and then as he was rising up, the sun was rising up in my heart, and I'm like, what is that? It almost felt like, I don't know if any of you have had this kind of test, where, you know, CAT scan, and you have to take this contrast, and when you take in the contrast, it goes, you know, like it's like warm liquid love going all over your body. Well, that's what was going on under the covers, you know. And I'm thinking, this must be the Lord. Something's happening, you know. And so that's what happened on Resurrection Morning. The heat of his presence and love coming over me under the covers warmed my heart. And, you know, it's something that you can't even reinvent. It was... You are listening to WSCIRO, Sikh Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston. Now back to the show regarding the interpretation of the dream as it pertains to a mighty move of God in the Church of the West. Like, West means, it doesn't mean what we think it means. It's a description of the church, right? Because this is primarily a body of Christ dream and what the Lord wants to do in this move of God as it relates to my husband's account on his side of the dream. So so what I get in this is several things that the Holy Spirit is showing me, that there is a move of God, because the water, the lake reminds, the lake is a symbol of a move of God, and the deepness of it is apparent that it's going to be way over the heads. And as the people of God come to know and understand the efficacy of communion, of feasting on the body and blood of Jesus, okay, there is going to be a mighty move of God in the Western church, in the Western world. So what does that mean for us? It means that, you know, that part of the body of Christ, which is the Catholic Church, that has gone through so much persecution throughout the centuries and darkness up until now, because we've lived in the wilderness too long, especially regarding the priest abuse and other things. It just seems apparent that the Lord's talking about the Catholic Church. It's been prophesied that revival is coming to the Catholic Church, and when a church is at its lowest place, the Lord does correct who He loves. He exposes and He corrects. Okay, and the church has been in leadership position for a longest time. I mean, everything derived from the church. All your ministries, no matter whether you consider yourself Catholic or not, or just Bible-believing Christian, it all came from the hands of Saint Augustine, one of the earliest church fathers. Okay, who was African too? Did you know Hippo was from, you know, is a place in Africa? Okay, so the fast moving cars, that means it's going to be fast and it's going to be moving. It's going to be suddenly. Okay, and one of the key factors in this is the election of this new Pope, Pope Francis, who is not only beginning a new era of the reign of Francis in the church, but is being backed by the prayers of our retired Pope, who didn't leave this earth through falling asleep in the Christ, but he remains fully alive on this side of glory because his focus is now on praying for the revival for this church, and the church would have the impact in a positive way that it has been destined to have in the body of Christ, and also in relation to Israel. There's some significant things that are going to happen, some milestones that are just going to cause everyone to gasp in awe of what God's doing. A lot of signs and wonders are coming to the church. Not that there hasn't been, but in a greater measure, through the people of God, through an unsuspecting people. Okay? Prior to that, my whole experience of the dream, yes, this is very significant. The Lord had, just before this dream,
probably about a day before, wanted to, he brought me back to the tomb again because he wanted to show me how he's going to resurrect the church. He's going to resurrect the church just like that's like our Heavenly Father had breathed his nostrils, his breath into the nostrils of Adam, okay, and also of Jesus. And I experienced that. You know, it seems like the boy was doing a prophetic Ezekiel thing with me. And I experienced that early in the morning. Again, under my covers, no window open, no fan on. It was not hot enough to have a fan. And all of a sudden, this breeze comes right across my face and right into my right nostril. And it woke me up. I just got a charge, you know, in my being, in my spirit, and my human spirit. And then the Lord said, you know, I just got the sense that with that, he whispered into my thoughts. It wasn't audible. He whispered into my thoughts and revealed to me in my mind that he's recharging me, he's re-energizing me by his Holy Spirit for the task that lies ahead. I took that as yes. And he says, and so he will be doing that to the rest of the body, you know, the body of Christ, that is. You, my brothers and sisters out there. So consider yourselves very blessed, okay, of God. And it's really awesome sharing this with you. We have about, I want to say, about 22 minutes left in this segment, in this edition of Faith Talks Live Prayer, prophetic review, a prophetic outlook review for 2013. For some reason, the Lord is having his finger on examining the prophetic in a greater detail. And as things happen, as things unfold, as things unwind, as situations come up where we have to pray in the solutions, maybe even ahead of time, I know that one of the other concerns of the Lord during this time was North Korea. Keep North Korea in prayer. But after the bombing, that's right, after the bombing at the Boston Marathon, I heard the Lord say that it was through a dream, and I didn't even write this down. It's something that just came up all of a sudden. And his thoughts on this whole bombing thing is this, before I go into the dream, that, you know, these recent fires and bombings challenge us as a nation to think victoriously. Through prayer, we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. That's right. There's a call of intercession. I know that was awakened in me. As long as we are not at the finish line of our lives and we still have breath in us, we will be fine and emerge victorious, because the captain of the army and our heavenly bridegroom, King Jesus Christ, is leading us on in his resurrection power, authority, and in the splendor of his glorious majesty. And so that, you know, is that in a nutshell. And then after the bombings, the Lord brought me back, you know, to the dream that he had given me. And it was regarding, I was actually observing the president and his family members and members of the cabinet at an event and at a gathering. And it was pretty dark with glimmers of light coming through, you know, from the windows and things like that. But it was in front of an audience, and everybody was given their perspective of what's going on, what's happened, and their part, and they were trying to console that particular audience of people, whoever they were. And I didn't have an idea of where I was until this lady spoke. This lady
who was grandmother-like in nature, comes up to the mic, all right, and I'm standing on the side of the podium observing this and looking right at the faces, faceless people, I should say, that was in the audience. And this lady had gray, short, effery hair, so she looked like she might have been in her 70s. And all of a sudden, she turned into, as she was given a word, she said, "I have a word." And she said, "The Lord said Rhode Island is next." Now, whatever that means, Rhode Island is next. And then it turned into this Middle Eastern looking guy. But the Lord was showing me, do not fear this, pray. All right? So as soon as he told me to pray, within 24-hour time period, all right, this is what why we have Faith Talks Life Prayer, he isolated some of the people that helped out the older brother living in Rhode Island, and the wife of this lady went living in Rhode Island, and so there may be some other people in Rhode Island, and you know, and those who listen to this broadcast, you know, whether you work for the government and things like that, I would just concentrate on Rhode Island. I know that they have plans for New York and things like that, but the Lord is saying Rhode Island, and I got chemical. I was getting the possible chemical warfare. Everybody was getting a mask, and they were wondering where their masks were. I think maybe it's a good idea, without getting American people too paranoid, that there should be a push to making sure that, you know, people are equipped with gas masks, just in case chemical warfare happens. And it's funny how it's happening in Syria, or has happened, and they're trying to prevent it from spreading. So this is take heed, take warning kind of word for now. And Lord, I just ask you right now to intervene and step into time and do what you need to do to take these weapons of mass destruction out of the hands of people who just want to not bless, but hurt, and in their mind, curse America. And it is not going to happen. America is the land of the, is the home of the free and the brave. And we know that our home is not here. It's heaven, but heaven is coming to the earth, and it's coming to the earth in power and glory as the people of God give praise and worship. And when the people of God give praise and worship and homage to the Lord will come, the Lord will defend, and the Lord will honor, because we honor Israel, we love Israel as a nation. It was proclaimed by the president. It was unexpected, according to some people, but God is, he's on the throne, okay? And I just want to, you know, share that with you. We're down to the wire there. We got about more like 15 minutes to go. So I wanted to get my glasses again. I wanted to also, before we end this segment of Faith Talks Live Prayer, and it's no telling when the next one will happen, but I believe, because life is getting really busy. If I told you what I was doing, you'd be, "What, Dr. Shirley?" But I'm being called into a significant thing that the Lord has asked me to do a study. I'm resuming studies again, and you'll know in time what it is. I can't really go into it now. I just have to do my part. Okay. On Sid Roth, on It's Supernatural, the Lord had interviewed through Sid, evangelist Steve Hill, and I just took this hot off the off the internet, off the press. And Steve Hill had died and come back, but while he was on, when he was on his deathbed, he had been given a vision of the last days, which is the times we are in now, of this time, by the Lord, regarding a warning to the body of Christ. And I'm just going to read it carefully and leave it with you. And I'm getting a sense that, you know, with all the Lord's been giving us for, you know, with these other dreams, it all is matching up. But the Lord wants to position his bride, the body of Christ on the earth, in such a way that, we could be very vigilant in our discernment areas. And we said earlier on in this broadcast, there are several levels of discernment that the Lord wants to strengthen his bride on. And that's the discernment of the Holy Spirit. What's of the Holy Spirit? The discernment of the human spirit, okay? The discernment of the demonic and the holy angels. And I think that's it. I'm always thinking I'm missing something, but I believe I have all four. So Evangelist Steve Hill was at heaven's doorstep after years of fighting incurable melanoma. Those closest to him were making funeral arrangements and securing a burial plot after doctors told them he had 3 days to live. Yet as Hill faced eternity, the man known worldwide for his fiery preaching at the Brownsville Revival in Pensacola, Florida, made a deathbed deal with God. "Jesus," he prayed, "they just told me that I'm going to die, and to die is gain. You and I are madly in love with each other, Jesus. You've been my best friend for decades. Now they say it's over. If it's over, that's fine. But you're hard pressed for evangelists, Jesus. There are very few evangelists out there that do what I do, and you know that. If you let me live, I will win another million people to you, O Lord." True to this, to his radical spirit, Hill wasn't referring to just anyone but hardcore people, as he describes them. And today, after miraculously coming off many of the medications he was on, Hill is seeing the unsavable getting saved, he says. Steve Hill cautions those who follow his ministry not to mimic his method of coming off prescribed medications, but he says the Lord really spoke to us, and it was also a conscientious decision to start coming off of this stuff, so I wasn't in such a zombie state, but it took months and months and months. Indeed, Hill's journey includes an entire year in which he was unable to communicate. Jerry, his wife of 33 years, continued to care for him throughout the painful process as his health declined from ongoing chemotherapy treatments, believing that God had instructed her to take care of the man of God. Hill continues to live with pain and is undergoing cancer treatment while employing more holistic means, but he also feels more driven than ever to win the loss. "Right now I am so sane and on fire," he says. I'm back holding massive crusades, praying for thousands of people. I'm still on fire. I'm like a soldier. A soldier often fights in pain. The message now burning hottest in Steve Hill came from a vision he received while in a similar season of pain when he was unable to walk and feeling useless. Though Hill says he doesn't often receive visions, he believes God gave him this one as a warning for the body of Christ. And what he describes as a full-color open vision, Hill saw a ski resort, which represents a church where everyone was having fun, yet few heeded the ski patrol's warning. I believe he's talking about the non-denominational church. Where everyone was having fun, yet few heeded the ski patrol's warning to avoid areas where snow had become unstable and death lurked. The church has been snowed under by false teachings, Hill asserts, and is paying the price for believers' deception. After Charisma magazine published an abbreviated version of the vision online in mid-December, responses began to pour in, and that article, "The Spiritual Avalanche That Could Kill Millions," went viral on social media. Now with the full message published in a Charisma house book released in March, "Spiritual Avalanche threat of false teachings that could destroy millions has been endorsed by church leaders from Jeff Hayford to Mike Bickle to Sid Roth to Perry Stone. While the timely book cautions readers against deceptive teachings in the church such as cheap grace and universal salvation, it also calls believers to holiness and purity, a message that has driven Steve Hill's ministry through the years. His health improved. Steve Hill now preaches around the globe and has launched a website and TV program, From the Front Lines with Steve Hill. The show has been translated into other languages, including Arabic, and Steve Hill says he has received reports of even reaching members of the militant organization Al-Qaeda. So, I just wanted to let you know that your prayers work. You know, and you don't think it doesn't have any effect. It does. Where two or three are gathered, Jesus is there. He'll wake you up in the middle of the night like he did with me and my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Candace, the other night. We just couldn't sleep at 3 in the morning, so we were praying. And then I went under in the Spirit and the Holy Spirit, and the Lord gave me a prayer shawl from heaven earlier that day. Earlier that evening, I fell asleep in the Spirit, and I woke, you know, I was in between sleep and awake, and the whole room was purple, and we had white walls. And that was part of the cover, the garment. It was like he was showing me how he's going to be releasing something, you know, on the lines of the purple. And God is so faithful like that. He calls us to pray. He's honoring. He's raising up intercessors. He's honoring when intercessors come to him wanting to, you know, pray and be the sentinels. He's looking for sentinels on this earth, but he's going to choose. He's searching. He knows your heart. He's especially the ones that are called in this day and age in this life. He will search you out as you prepare to lay down your life for the sheep, lay down your life for him. Okay? And endeavor to try to hear his voice. But The spiritual avalanche is the false teachings, and you know that's why I was so livid earlier on this broadcast when Sid Roth had these two men on his show to talk about the Exo Vaticana, which is definitely not church teaching, and it was something about aliens and saying that the new evangelization is all about that, and you heard I put a post in on my page on Facebook, John Michael Talbot heard this, and he answered to that. And, you know, people have got to, especially Christians, have got to get the mind and heart out of the gutter when it comes to your perception regarding the Catholic Church from which you are hewn, okay? And look at the progression of the faith and how, as you judge, and how, you know, as you judge whether it's you're judging the church as rightly legitimate or not, and just look at the fruits, look at what happened in the different church breaks and how the church progressed and where the repentance happened. And it's not just all about reform and breaking away. It's about a church loving the Lord Jesus Christ the best way it knows how. Not perfect vessels, but, you know, it doesn't claim to be perfect, but it claims to, you know, be one that's a hound for heaven. And the greatest saints came out of the Catholic Church, the true Catholic Church. And it's the saints that you enjoy today that have many dreams and have many visions. And we're going to select a saint upon each show that we do. Especially the ones with these extraordinary gifts, to really let you know how much of a legacy the church is upon this earth. If this church, if the Catholic Church wasn't here upon this earth, there would be a lot of chaos. There's a lot of things that God has stopped because of the presence of the Catholic Church. Okay, and the fact that the church can coexist. And it's not, you know, the church it was before. It doesn't war against other denominations. It tries to work with other denominations
to towards unity, towards peace. And we are just at the end of the show right now, and I just want to just leave you with a big God bless you, a big hug from me and Dr. Shirley and Dr. Jeff. You know, and this is these shows are to encourage you and to encourage you towards a greater walk, a greater faith walk, okay, in Yeshua. All right, God bless you. We love you. Bye-bye.
Unseen angels celebrate, cause joy is in this place.